And welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX and the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. This program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Gillard Sargent. Fred Monroe continues to host the program from home with continuing concerns about the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Fred and his guests today look at the continuing challenges to acceptance for the LGBTQ communities as part of our overall society. These challenges and answers are also brought to our attention as part of an international celebration known as Pride. Today's discussion will focus on this community and the upcoming Central Coast Pride celebration. You're invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation today. You can call us at 805-549-8855 or email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. Now, let's join Fred and his guests. Over to you, Fred.
Thank you, Kyle. Glad we can be with you today. This is Fred Monroe. I'm your host. As you know, Central Coast Voices really wants to look at how credible and valid information and insights can affect the diversity of our community and how we can look at whether or not choices we make today will affect tomorrow's community or not affect tomorrow's community because we weren't paying attention in some cases, truly. One of the areas of human diversity still at the forefront of our society is the acceptance of the LGBTQ communities within our broader community. For many, this acceptance has been a challenge. For many people in the community, just the concept of accepting this community is an ongoing challenge. And we would like to talk about that. For others, this is really becoming a celebration of pride. And so to talk about the challenges versus the celebrations is something that we will do today because this is Pride Month and the Central Coast Pride organization, which has been around since 1997, is going to put on a Pride celebration locally in San Luis Obispo. This is 25 years for Central Coast Pride, and we're going to look back at some of the accomplishments and activities of that effort, and basically where that community has shifted and become, for many people, more in part of an accepted, broader, open community. But we also have looked at the fact that even though the LGBTQ community has made many strides for a more open environment within our society, there are those people who continue to be resistant. And as we all know, sometimes the most resistant are the ones who become louder when resistance for everyone else seems to be less of a factor. We'll have to take a look at that today. My guests today are Michelle Call. She's the executive director of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. Ilamon Cleef, who is the Cal Poly intern at the Pride Center and the Pride Committee's co-chair, I believe, at the moment. And Dusty Collier-Worth, who is a staff member at the SLO Chamber of Commerce and the vice chair of the San Luis Obispo City Human Relations Commission. As Kyle mentioned, I want to remind you again, you can be part of this discussion by giving us a call at 805-549-8855. You can also email us at voices@kcbx.org. If you have a large and complex question that we cannot get to during the program today, I will forward your email on to our guests so they can have an opportunity to answer that if you'd like. I would also encourage you to focus your questions either by phone or by email. In the earlier part of the hour, we sometimes find that people really get focused on wanting to put a question out to us in the last few minutes of the hour, and we sometimes just cannot get that sorted out. Want to thank my guests today, Dusty, Isla, and Michelle, for joining us. I guess I'm not quite sure who would like to start it, but I would really think what we need to do to give recognition to the incredible efforts, both of Central Coast Pride and Pride as an international effort, to the origins of it. Can one of you share with me some history?
I can share some history with you, Fred. So, of course, LGBTQ plus folks have been seeking their civil and human rights for quite a long time. And we think about Stonewall, which was the action that happened on June 28th in 1969. We think of that as the real start of Pride. But before that, there were lots of other actions like the Compton's Cafeteria Riot in San Francisco, Dewey's Lunch Counter Sit-In, the Cooper Donuts Riot. All these things were kind of leading up to what happened at the Stonewall Inn, which was definitely an action defying what was defined for LGBTQ plus people at that time, which was that it was illegal to be LGBTQ plus. You could not wear the clothes of someone of a gender to which you were not assigned at birth, the sex you weren't assigned at birth. You had things like that. There were lots of things that were very wrong. And so when Stonewall happened, the following year, the very first Pride parades were held, one on the East Coast and one on the West Coast. And it was Christopher Street Liberation Day on the East Coast and Christopher Street West here on the here on the West Coast. And so those were the beginnings of the Pride parades. And ever since then, LGBTQ plus folks have got together usually once a year, sometimes more, to celebrate the uniqueness of our community, but also to remind people that there's a lot of equity that we still need to bring so that everybody is on a level playing field.
I live in a rather conservative community. It's the community I live in which bewilders me on a regular basis. Its name shall remain not stated at the moment. but I have to say, I have spoken to people in the broader community that I live in, that the answer for people who can't understand an interest in any kind of pride and diversity is, gee, why don't you all just keep your sexuality and preference to yourselves and leave us out of the discussion? I have to tell you that for those of us who don't think that way, the first question I have is, why does anybody need to keep anything about their life that's not anybody else's concern? Private or not private, they can just be who they are. I'm sure this kind of question is a thing that you all face on a reasonably regular basis. I suspect the day will come when you won't face it, and we'll all be shocked that the community is far more inclusive than we thought it would ever get. Dusty, let me focus that to you, because you work specifically in a diverse business community, a public service area of tourism, and I suspect in a conservative county that we are for a lot of people, it's like, why is gay pride part of your life? Why does it matter?
I think besides the celebratory aspect that we talk about, it's really about that visibility. And for me, for instance, I have said, like, I always ask, what does pride mean to me? Pride means the opportunity to walk down the street holding my husband's hand and not have to constantly be looking around me to see who might be around that would find objection or be a threat to that hand holding. And I think that's kind of the difference of why we celebrate. That's still part of my mindset, even though I know I live in a largely safe and accepting community. That there are still elements around there that could be dangerous to me and my family. So I think that's when we talk about pride and why it still needs to happen and why it's important and why I celebrate it is an opportunity, that act of defiance, those that would question it's my world's validity, to say that, no, I'm here and I matter just as much as everybody else that's walking around. So I think bringing it back into the business aspect, and our tourists, we want to be reflective. We want people to come from all over the world and be able to see themselves here. And so I think even just as small as sometimes our Central Coast community can be, why that's important for that visibility to be here so that everybody feels like they can come here and be welcome.
I love the concept of an LGBTQ plus person deciding to go to college at some place as conservative as an agricultural and engineering based kind of university. I mean, gee whiz, you could go to Humboldt State. So how does that affect your life?
Well, I think part of the process is I actually came to Cal Poly not really considering those factors as much as a lot of the financial factors, the idea just like you kind of get in where you get in. And I was concerned. I came in during the protests for the blackface incident that happened on campus. It was right in the middle of open house, and I was honestly very like empowered to see people protesting, to see a lot of student activism going on. It gave me hope that despite this maybe perspective in this more conservative view and kind of culture in the school, that there's plenty of room for me to be and to find space. And I've learned a lot since then, since I've been here. And I would say honestly that my identity with the community, learning who I am, has really grown exponentially while I've been here. I wouldn't speak more to just like the culture of the community, the culture of the school, just as much to the centers on campus, the places of diversity, inclusion, places that are trying to bring equity to Cal Poly, the cross-cultural centers. I work with the Pride Center now, and it has been a truly wonderful experience. And I think that's where a lot of that that identity is fostered, that I can, that visibility is there. And it's really given me more confidence, not in just like who I am, but in my community and all the people that are working to show, to speak to the larger community, to why visibility is important, why it isn't like, it is our duty as well to speak and be visible for those who want to, for those who would like to be visible too. Because it's not just about like, oh, I don't want to, like, you know, why are you being so loud? A lot of it's like, I want it silenced. And that has been how it was for so long. And to gain the rights that we have, to move forward in the ways that we have and all the length we have to go, it's empowering. It is worthy of celebrating. And it just goes down to like, people, same-sex couples should be able to hold hands just like a straight couple would. It's just kind of, I think that's just like where we're at, where we're going, and where we want to go. Yeah.
Well, this is the question I guess I want to get out of the way, and I'm apologizing for even having to ask it, but I think it's a question that fits in this discussion. For a lot of the community, I believe the answers you probably get are, well, the law finally gave you the right to get married, so why don't you just accept that and stop all the other stuff that's important to you, or stop worrying about it. Don't celebrate Pride. Don't celebrate your diversity. We gave Dusty the right to refer to someone as his husband, so why in the world are you still having this discussion?
Have you seen how many anti-transgender healthcare and sports bills are being put forward in states this year? Our rights are very much still under attack. And what kind of a community would we be if we said, well, the gays and lesbians have their rights, the rest of you can just go away?
Very good point. And I want to apologize if any of that question sounded like I was trying to specifically challenge you. And I don't want anyone to feel that way. But I believe it's something that we do hear a lot, and that is, well, we've thrown you cookies. How come you're not enjoying the cookies and now going someplace else and leaving us alone? I know of somebody who actually basically said, you know, if you want to have a Pride celebration, we know it's a big deal in San Francisco. Can you just go up there and participate and leave the Central Coast alone? So I suspect this is not going to get easier any day soon.
Right. And I would suggest that person not attend Pride.
Can we just, can we actually mark them as someone who's not allowed in? I don't know.
Well, it's, to me, I'm thinking, you know, and I get where you're going with this question, because, you know, marriage equality was definitely a very important factor, but that's not, you know, where it ends. That's not the only, the only rights that exist for one group of people that didn't exist for LGBTQ plus people, when there's still multitude of states out there where you can still be legally fired for being LGBTQ plus, where there are many, many bills out there right now that are also trying to circumvent or restrict non-discrimination clauses at the municipal level across our nation. So, you know, the marriage, absolutely important, but it took our highest court of our land to even make that something that was. So when we talk about the communities we live in, there's small struggles all across the world. So no, it's not just about marriage. There's more to world and the world that we live in than just that. Gentlemen, I love my husband. I'm proud to be able to say that I have a husband that I can live openly with. But even to Michelle's point, when we think about all the anti-transgender laws that are going on, our transgender youth being constantly misgendered and denied medical access, and things like that, it's impactful. Okay. And it's important that we keep the visibility going beyond just marriage.
Yeah. Isla, you had something to insert there too? Yes.
Yes, I would love to. I concur with what they're saying here too. And just to the idea of, I'm like, why, you know, you can go to San Francisco Pride. I'm actually from the Bay Area and I've had the joy to be there. And it's great. But I think another large factor is looking at like some of the intersectionality between LGBTQ identity and class standing and race and ethnicity and gender and even environmental justice. There's just so many ways you can like view how far we need to go and what needs to happen next. And just to the idea of like, well, why do we need a pride here? A lot of people, I'm going to just go from the financial route, cannot go to other places. They can't have the luxury to leave their work or their space or their family to do something that's like healing or celebratory, a protest. It's hard to know, like, when there is sort of this isolating factor of I have to leave a state, I have to leave the locality, I have to leave the country for some folks too. It's that's not how it should be. It should be accessible to people, especially to our folks who are more in like a lower income bracket, who deserve that space and that accessibility.
I would have to add into that, you should not make me go to Mexico in order to get good Mexican food. I think it really is the diversity of wherever we are. And I thank you for making that point. So, well, let's talk about some of the things that you've planned for this year. We will revisit the topic from a geopolitical standpoint, of course, before the program is over. But this is upcoming on Pride Week. Pride Week starts on the 16th of May, as I understand it. What is involved this year that you want to make? Well, two things. What is involved this year that you want people to know about? And what is involved this year that will help the broader community than just the LGBTQ plus community show up for the celebration? Who'd like to jump in first? Okay, go ahead.
I'd be happy to jump in. I've been working very closely with all of our events alongside my committee members. It has been so much fun. It's been great to compile this many different events and activities. So I actually would just start out with some of our month-long events and opening with our art show. We have that on display till June 3rd. People can make an appointment to go and view artwork from LGBTQ and allied artists at our center. That is in-person and safe viewing. It's by appointment only, so it would just be about contacting Gala. We have Love Notes, which is going to be display in the Mission Plaza. I don't know if you've seen some of the different setups they have in the plaza, but they have one right now, I think, for celebrating spring, and we'll have our own for June too. And starting on May 16th, we're also going to be kicking off with a art creation session, which is also available to sign up and join in to paint, to craft, to create the materials we're going to have up. We also, on the art end, have Sloma curating a take-home art kit, which will be available on the lawn in Mission Plaza on the 22nd from 11 to 1 for families to pick up so they can do art at home. I think that's part of the kind of bigger drawing in not just the LGBTQ community, the larger community and ally community as well, is just offering art kits, offering beauty in SLO in that way. I think that's also part of our kind of like larger outreach with the Secret Pride menu, which I know secret's in the word, but we got to get the word out there that we have a lot of participating establishments around SLO that are curating a item or items that go along with Pride Week, Pride Month, and our theme, like Strong, Proud, United. And that those include Skipper's Brew and Coffee House, Luna Red, Lincoln Deli, The Libertine, so many more. This is all available on our website, too. I will plug that in for slowpride.com because there's just a full list there.
Thank you, Isla.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add, too, that we're going to kick off with the Pride Talks this coming Sunday. So, you know, TED Talks, well, we're not able to do TED Talks, but we're doing something similar that's Pride Talks. And there's 10 different speakers, and it's topics of interest to the entire community. So that's something that we're doing that so it's going to be like from noon to 4 on Zoom. And then after that, there's going to be a panel of the people that gave the talks so that you can ask questions. And that, to me, like having some educational pieces is really important to get the community word out and to get people involved and so that they can learn more about our community.
So I want to pose a question to you that the Pride celebration in the plaza, having been there myself on a number of years, is a very wonderful, positive, joyous celebration. And people bring their kids. And I would suspect that you have people whose thoughts about bringing their kids are, well, you know, LGBTQ questions for an awful lot of people are about sexuality. And I don't talk to my kids about sexuality. So how do I explain to them what this organization is and what we're going to celebrate in the plaza? I guess to evolve that into a little more specific question, gee, how do I explain to my 7-year-old what the LGBTQ community is that we're celebrating on Pride, on a Pride event? Because I think it's a question that may come up for a lot of people. I want to add to it, I think it may come up for a lot of people as an excuse to not get involved. So I'd like to get an idea about that.
Well, I hear the straight community talking a lot about the sexuality and sex in the LGBTQ plus community. And I feel like a lot of what you're hearing from Dusty and Isla is, I want to be able to hold hands in public. And so I don't think that the LGBTQ plus community is focused on sex in necessarily the same way that the straight community is about us. But I do think that everybody would benefit from teaching their children about sexuality at an age-appropriate, in an age-appropriate way at each level, because you don't really know what sexual orientation or gender identity your child is going to have. And if you cut off those avenues early on, you could be causing a problem later where your child does not feel safe disclosing to you about their sexual orientation and gender identity. So I understand that people really are talking about, you know, the sex, but they're not going to see any sex at Pride in the Plaza. They may see some people holding hands, and they may have to explain to their children, yes, that man's holding hands with another man because he loves him. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, and I don't want to in any circumstances suggest that it could ever be seen as a bad thing. I just think for some people it's an excuse that's hard to get around. I don't know how we have conversations with those people So they're willing to even talk about what makes them uncomfortable.
I guess I always think of it, my hope for any concerned or concerns a parent might have for their children would hopefully, as Michelle and Nikki, you know, express and come from a place of love and explaining how everybody should feel free to be their authentic selves. And hopefully, you know, encouraging our children to be the best versions of themselves that they can be, whatever that may encompass. And I also agree, you know, we need to remove sometimes, you know, don't be worried about what I do behind closed doors. You know, frankly, that's not anybody's business. But to know that these celebrations are meant to be for everyone that wants to come and celebrate their authentic selves, you know, whether it's, you know, with all the plumage out there or to just be quietly nodding along. And hopefully you can, as Michelle indicated, you can have those age appropriate conversations at every level to raise open minded and free-spirited children.
Yeah. Isla, go ahead. You had something else to add.
I totally agree. I really agree with the sentiment, Michelle, because it is a necessary conversation. I think in just the age-appropriate level of children are sticking with kids, but also adults too, we're exposed to what like romance is at a very young age. I mean, you could just look at Disney and how romance is portrayed in children's shows, in media that they are exposed to nearly on a daily basis in a lot of ways. So I think it's very possible to explain when it comes to just sexuality as just, you know, these two people love each other, they care about each other, and it's just the idea that they should, I mean, you can use, depending on their age too, but you can use more, I guess, like broader concepts of like legally allowed to be together, because at one point it wasn't allowed. It's all up to whatever a guardian, however you want to approach it, but there is a lot of capacity for learning. And I think that we even have a youth night that is available to anyone under 24, but like centered around the fact that like kids to even college students can enjoy the space, because we're talking about beloved cartoons, and those cartoons are available to a lot of young people, and they are really great in a lot of ways at it, just explaining and more just like having representation of folks with different gender identities, sexualities, in just simply put ways where you just see them together with their partner and that's it. And I think just those little things are really important, and kids and people see that.
Yeah. Michelle, you brought up a good point when you talk about, and I appreciate it truly because it hadn't occurred to me this way, about age appropriate discussion. I will share with you that when I was a child between the age of about 4 and I believe about 7, one of my babysitters, or a couple who were my babysitters, were a lesbian couple. And I will tell you, until I was an adult and I had a discussion with my mom about who they were, by the way, their names were Connie and Pat. And that was all I remembered, was Connie and Pat, my babysitters. It never became part of the discussion as to whether or not they were a couple, whether or not they were just people who were roommates, because that wasn't important to my parents. Luckily, and thank God, my parents were open to that kind of view of the universe a long, long time ago. I'm very old. That it didn't matter. So I believe when you talk about age appropriateness, I suppose if I needed a babysitter and I was 16 or 17, I might have a different discussion or a different question with my parents about who Connie and Pat are. But as a 6 or 7 year old, they were just these really nice people who were my babysitters on an often case. So I'm not quite sure how we sort that out sometimes. Parents are afraid to have those discussions with their kids. And sometimes you only have them when you find out your kids have questions that you didn't think they were going to ask yet.
And that's actually why it's so important to have inclusive sex education at school. So, for instance, a transgender boy can potentially get pregnant even while on testosterone. And if sex education doesn't include safe sex for transgender people, that's why we have more teen pregnancy among the transgender population, because it's not something that was that even occurred. So I think that you're right, age-appropriate education, and then as people get older, sex education, gender education really can be a mental health protective factor and help people with their physical health. So yes, sometimes parents can't talk about these things with straight or gay children, right? Yeah. So I think important sex education at school.
Yeah. I'd like to continue that discussion a little bit. We need to take a quick break. Kyle's going to take things back over in the studio for a bit, and we'll come back to the discussion. But I think there's some more appropriate discussion we need to have there. This is Central Coast Voices, and we'll be back with you shortly.
From the KCBX-FM community calendar, the Dana Adobe Cultural Center in Napomo invites the community to an evening with Dave Sterney on July 10th. Dave is a 2016 Western Music Hall of Fame inductee, and the concert will take place in the courtyard on July 10th. Tickets are now available, and dinner is included. But attendees must bring their own low-back chairs. Tickets and more information can be found online at danaadobe.org.
Hi, I'm Fred Friedman. Thursday evenings, I enjoy playing music for you on Jazz Liner Notes from 10 p.m. until midnight. Or you can listen anytime on demand at kcbx.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA, part two of The Wrongful Conviction of Joseph Webster. We'll follow Joseph as he takes on the fight of his life. And we look at the long-term effects of wrongful convictions.
We feel good. We're downtown right now, getting ready to have my daddy released.
That's this week on Latino USA.
Thanks for joining us on your Thursday afternoon. And this afternoon, you can hear Latino USA coming up at 2 p.m., followed by Fresh Air at 3, and then Marketplace at 4. Right now, Central Coast Voices continues with Fred and his guests here on KCBX. Back to you, Fred.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it. We have Michelle Call, the executive director of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. Isla Moncrief from Cal Poly. She is an intern at the Pride Center and Pride Committee Chair this year. And Dusty Collier-Worth, who is with the SLO Chamber of Commerce, and he is vice chair of the SLO City Human Relations Commission. And we are talking today about diversity in our community with the LGBTQ plus community and the upcoming celebration of Pride Central Coast as part of Pride Week. Technically, is it Pride Month or Pride Week, guys? I want to make sure I don't cut off any extra days you're entitled to.
Both.
It's both. Okay. So, anyway. Michelle, I want to get back to the discussion we were having because I think it's an important discussion. I think that we have a society that is only preoccupied with sexuality in most cases when they find something about it that offends them. And I'm wondering how we sometimes sort that out. As a heterosexual, I don't understand the kind of challenges you face in a society because the weirdest thing anybody has ever tried to challenge me about is the fact that A, I'm bald, and B, I'm Jewish. And those are things that have not necessarily been a challenge to me, and they don't affect my daily life. So the sorting out of these kinds of challenges for an awful lot of our community that would like these kind of issues to go away just becomes, can you please not talk about it? And I'm wondering how we sort that out.
Well, if I'm sorting it out, then really that's just providing equitable education for everyone so that everybody can have all the options. Right. So if you're educating about sexuality, if you educate about the entire spectrum of possible sexualities, then you're just giving somebody all the information that they might need. If you only educate about the default sexuality, then there's a great deal of information you're leaving out. And then that person doesn't have a well-rounded view of how things are, and also will come away without that additional perspective. And I think that the additional perspective at all ages really is good, because not everybody is the default heterosexual cisgender person. And when I say cisgender, I mean a person whose biological sex, the sex they were assigned at birth, aligns with their gender identity. So if you were born and the doctor said it's a boy and you feel like you're a boy, then you are cisgender. And the opposite of that would be transgender. So I just think that education for everyone would benefit us all.
Did get posed to me by someone that I believe they were trying to be cynical, was how many more letters do we need to add to LGBTQ+ before we understand the entire scope of the people we are talking about that identify in that community? And it's very important to me that you not hear that as a sarcastic question, but I believe it's a question that for a lot of people on all sides of this diverse issue, please give me the definitions.
So sometimes I like to say rainbow people, just because it kind of cuts out that whole alphabet soup. But the point is...
Well, I want to interject. I'm glad you ordered. You just added plus to the end of it, so that makes it a little bit easier. You can have as many pluses as you want.
I think the thing is that we're all individuals. And when we talk about our sexual orientation and our gender identity, we're talking about something that's so innate to ourself, to our own identity, to who we are, that the labels that we put on that are different for different people. And the alphabet is expanding as people are really growing into new explanations, new definitions for that internal sense of who they are. And so, yes, they all have different definitions. They all have different labels. Some people will talk about bisexual. Some people will talk about pansexual. Some pansexual people don't like the term bisexual. And so I think there's a lot of different, you can get caught up in all that language when really all people are trying to do is identify themselves in a way that makes sense to them.
Ayla, jump in.
I would just say, we're at a point too. I think
we.
Are at a point where I think categories are very helpful for a lot of folks. Some folks, not as much, and I'll get to that in a minute. But just the idea that homosexuality is a category itself that only emerged in the mid 19th century. But how rooted it's become and what all the implications that are there with it, and how it's changed. We really have this sort of there's a lot of binary kind of between a heterosexual and homosexual, boy and girl. So a lot of that is about breaking those binaries and, showing that people are complex, but they still want a community to identify with too. So I think that's why we just have a lot of the letters included there, which also include ace, aromantic, asexual identity, transgender, gender nonconforming identity, intersex identity. Intersex folks. It's just to expand on everything that was largely considered non-existent within Western society in a larger, I guess, sense of it. I would also just say that a lot of folks prefer to use more broader terms. I know myself and some others like to use queer as just like a broad umbrella term. Some folks don't like to use it because there is a history with that word that was painful, especially for older generations as well. But it's sort of being reclaimed right now. And for me, that's empowering. And I think the main thing is everybody has their own way that they interact with the language too, that is empowering, that builds community. That's good for them.
I think you both made an excellent point, because I think it also comes down to that search for self, you know, and ties directly back into what Michelle was talking about of needing expanded education for everyone out there to be able to understand all of the different sexualities and gender identities and all of that that exists in our world. So all of that, like I said, the alphabet soup, the rainbow people, is really just that. A way for somebody to look and say, oh, there I am. There, you know, there are other people like me to help me form my sense of self and identity.
I'd actually like an answer from all three of you, because I believe you all three come from different backgrounds and different age groups. What has your sense been over the last 15 or 20 years about whether or not we indeed are moving in a direction that makes you feel more comfortable with the larger society? And are we seeing a backlash in some parts of society for people who are so conservative or so exclusionary that the fact that the society is becoming more inclusionary makes them more entrenched in their anger and resentment? Michelle, I'll start with you, but I'd like an answer from all three of you, if you don't mind.
So yes, I think people can get entrenched in their belief system, and it seems so. Until the previous 4 years, things had seemed to be going on a bit of a towards more rights trajectory. California did not, when we had Proposition 8, that was a bit of a stumble right there. That was kind of difficult. And then in the last 4 years with the Trump administration, we saw a lot of transgender rights begin to be eroded, and LGBTQ+ in general was really, a lot of things were under fire. Not here in California. We have very strong rules in California, very strong laws, but there's lots of states where that's not the case. And I feel like now, we're definitely going in the right direction again. And in fact, nationally, the Biden administration on the 100th day held a call with LGBT centers to talk about what they have done so far and what they plan to do in the future with regard to LGBTQ+ rights. And that was the first time a president has ever done such a thing. So I'm pretty optimistic about the future. And I feel that when I see a lot of conservative folks changing their minds when somebody in their family comes out. Because once it becomes personal and somebody you love, that makes a difference.
Yeah. Isla.
Yes to that. I think to all of it, just with the idea that, I mean, we see when there is progressive political movement, there is pushback, conservative pushback. There is always, and I think when we move forward, there is going to be resistance from more conservative angles And that's just something we'll have to continually work with. But I agree with Michelle, where I am optimistic. I would especially say for my age group and older, younger, it's been really good on the side of representation and connection. As difficult as social media and the internet can be, it has also been a place of expression, of a lot of community building for LGBTQ+ people. It has been really great. We've been able to be exposed to new art forms, to new voices. It's a platform to have a voice, whereas it can be harder to get a platform in the political structures we have too. We are gaining ground in that way as well, but I would, just looking at that, I guess, dimension of culture and society, it's really strong as well. Yeah, I think that would be from my angle.
Okay. Dusty.
Oh, golly. I think, you know, I'll preface, looking forward to the future, I am hopeful. I would say that when people are given a chance over like the last 4 years to embrace fear and bigotry, where they're given license to hold on to and not recognize the privilege that they're coming from, where they're told that, like you were talking about handing out cookies earlier, they're told there's enough cookies for everyone. they're told that by giving everybody more does not mean that you have less, that something is going to be taken away from you. And I think that we did take steps and stumbles back where we were living in a more fearful, isolated environment, where now we can move forward into a place where that doesn't need to exist. We can all live together and all have all the things, and be able to be all our true selves.
So very good answers for all of you. Thank you. I really do appreciate that. We only have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that we don't leave folks feeling like, well, we talked about the serious topics and we didn't give them enough information about Pride in the Plaza and Pride Week. And on one of the, when we asked you folks to give us an idea of the kind of questions that you get asked in the community, one of them that I can't miss, but I've got to ask it, so I will, is where do we get drag show tickets? For, by the way, this is radio, and I got applause from one of my guests for asking that question. So it's anyway. So I guess the fact that you put it on the list of questions that you wanted to share with us leads me to believe that it's a very common question. So I guess, where do we get drag show tickets, folks?
www.slowpride.com, one-stop shop for drag tickets, concert tickets, signing up for every single Pride event for the 16th to the 23rd, slowpride.com. And they're only $10, our drag show tickets, because we, like Isla said earlier, we want to be really sure that we're inclusive and not pricing anybody out. So Juicy CW, our Miss Central Coast Pride from 2018, when I first started at the center, is going to be emceeing and hosting the drag show. And there's some burlesque in there as well. The Community Foundation will be presenting their annual LGBTQ plus award and all kinds of things. So tickets at slowpride.com.
Okay. And I'll remind people, as I often do, that if you just Google Slow Pride, you will find the right website. It's amazing how much Google knows what we want to find out about, even if we can't get all the words filled in there sometimes. Are there any other specific things about the Pride celebration that maybe people aren't aware of that we'd like them to be aware of? We've got a couple of minutes left here, but I want to make sure that we... I want to make sure I can help you get as many people to show up just because it's a good event, as opposed to having to look at it from a geopolitical issue.
What about Trans Night, Isla?
Yeah, we have Trans Central Coast has essentially a full day, because before that they have their own lounge, which I will get to momentarily. But we have Trans Night Thursday, 6:30 to 8 p.m. And they'll be screening a film on transgender and gender nonconforming community and community experiences in the Central Coast, which is an amazing documentary effort that they put together and are able to show to our community here. So that's really exciting. And we also, I'm just going to plug a few of our other events, which is the Pride Lounges, hosted by various organizations. And it's just supposed to be a fun, casual social space. It's going on Monday through Friday every day. And I'd also like to just say we have an ASL translation for most of our events. So we have interpreters there, which is wonderful, and we are so excited to have that accessibility there. I'd also just say on Monday, we're also kicking off the week with our car caravan. We'll be at the United Staffing Associates parking lot at 6:30 to be decorating cars, and we're going to be moving around downtown and ending at Skipper's and Slow Provisions for snacks, for community. Really exciting. But we have so many more events.
Are we still accepting entries for the Pride's Got Talent?
Until Sunday. Get your videos in.
Yeah.
Please send in talent.
If you've got any talent, the only talent I could maybe submit is shaking a mean martini. But I say if you can submit anything that you've got a talent for, it should make for an exciting Pride's Got Talent for our local, whatever it might be.
Okay.
We have the Pets of Pride, the pet photo competition still going on too. Submit entries of your pets with pride. There's four categories and a lot of opportunities to win amazing prizes.
I need to say this for anybody listening. Isla is an intern from Cal Poly. If you want to understand how successful the intern program is through Cal Poly State University, people like Isla on the radio program are good examples. And I thank you very much. Kudos out to you. As I do on the program often, because I talk too much, is try and get out of the way for a while and let my guests kind of wrap things up, because I talk too much, want to make sure they get the last word in. Dusty, I'll start with you. What do you want to make sure people remember tomorrow about what we've discussed today?
Oh, God. You know that our LGBTQ plus rights are human rights, and that by uplifting the voices of every member of our community, that it elevates all of humanity. That's the heavy part of, I guess, what I'd love to share. I think that the easier part is come out and celebrate Pride. You know, whether you identify as LGBTQ plus, or if you identify as an ally, come out and celebrate. Look through the suite of events. There's something for everything, and 98% of it, 100% family friendly. Maybe some of the drag and burlesque show might get a little risque for the kids, but 18. You know, 18 plus. But come out and find those things that are interest you, or if you're unsure of what a topic is. I think one of the great opportunities for this dynamic lineup of events that we've got planned for this year specifically are opportunities for education built into them, so that you can, if you're not familiar with a particular topic, you can jump in and learn.
Isla, your last word.
We have seen some incredible and groundbreaking protests in the last few months, and I do want to recognize those because they highlight a lot of our BIPOC transgender community members, and I think that is so valuable. And this is a celebration, but I also think it is a form of resistance, because just in the act of being joyful, coming together, creating space, I think that is protest. That is community. That is a lot of the things we are trying to achieve. And I agree that there's a lot of space and events available to folks to learn more and hear from more perspectives, especially with our Pride Talks. There'll be a lot of educational opportunities, a lot of opportunities to hear experiences and connect with folks and talk about your own experiences. I am really excited for our Pride celebration this week and for the coming month. And I'll just say May 16th through the 23rd is Pride Week. Please check out slowpride.com for more. And it was great to be on here.
Okay, great. Thank you, Isla. Michelle, you get the last word of the last words.
Well, you mentioned that Isla was an intern, and I just want to say that this year we've had a full collaboration between the Gala Pride and Diversity Center and the Cal Poly Pride Center. We've had six, seven people from students from Cal Poly working hours and hours to put things together. Sam Bird, who runs the Pride Center, is also the vice president of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. And they've been overseeing just all this amazing work that's gone into being together. And that's been intentional for Sam over the last 3 years, making sure that the community is at Cal Poly and Cal Poly is in the community. So I just want to say that I have truly, truly appreciated that partnership. And it has what has made this Slow Pride so successful.
Okay. What do you want to make sure people who are joining us late in the program don't forget about what they need to participate in that will be key to their better understanding the LGBTQ community as part of Pride Week?
I would say the Pride Talks, the virtual lounges, the evenings that are held by different segments of our population, if you have an interest in a particular segment, that kind of thing. I think those are going to be great educational and connective events. And you know what? Drag shows are good for everyone. So I just want to say www.slowpride.com. Everything is there.
We had one email that came in late that we didn't get a chance to go to the email sender who sent one to us about 10 minutes ago. I will pass it on to Michelle and my guests so they can maybe respond to your concerns. Sorry we did not get to that. I want to thank my guests. Truly, this has been a delightful program. We'll have this discussion on an ongoing basis until it gets to the point where everybody is just together and nobody needs to make sure that they don't get discriminated against for whatever parts of their life challenge other people, because it happens for a lot of us. And I thank you very much. This has been Central Coast Voices. I want to remind you that next week, Chris Kington Barker will be back with you. She's going to look at a very, very disturbing and distressing topic. She's going to look at sexual violence and significant challenge about sexual violence on colleges and universities nationwide. Winter of 2020, Cal Poly State University conducted a survey with regard to gender and issues of power and gender violence, and they will be discussing that. She will have people from Cal Poly Safer program with her next week. Please be part of that discussion. It's a discussion that will not necessarily be comfortable, but it's a discussion we need to have. And as I've told you before, Central Coast Voices is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. You can contact us with suggestions for programming and or feedback to the program at voices@kcbx.org. Want to thank KCBX because they have been a co-sponsor and been our production facility for this program for many, many years now. Thank you for Brad Kyle, who is our engineer today. And I believe I referred to him as Kyle as opposed to Brad earlier. And I'm sorry about that, Brad. Anyway, and thank you to my guests, Michelle Call, Isla Moncrief, and Dusty Collier-Worth. And this has been a wonderful program. And if you don't participate in Pride Week coming up, you will probably have a very boring next week. So consider coming. Thank you very much. This has been Central Coast Voices.